What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein coming to you with another edition of Phillies Today, following a split between the Phillies and the Braves in today's doubleheader. But the Phillies do win the series, as they've won 9 of their last 10 series now, 23-7 in their last 30 games, and are just playing some really good, really consistent baseball, which is great to see. And has them at 36-20, and stop me if you've heard this one before, the best record in all of baseball. And it almost pains me a little bit to say it, because last year, all I did was come on here week after week and say, best record in baseball, best team in baseball, whole nine yards. But we all know what ended up happening in the end, and they sort of just fell off as the season went on. And that consistency that we saw in May of last year, like we're seeing right now, and in June, kind of after that London trip, it started to go downward. So hoping we do not see that again this year, but the Phillies are playing some awesome baseball, and it's really fun to watch. And I came on here about a month or so ago and asked, was this a team that was really going to be worth investing in? Is this core sort of aging out here as we get into 2025 and as we get into maybe, you know, year 5-ish of this core? And I think they're sort of answering those questions right now, that this is a team that is a legitimate World Series contender once again. And those are the expectations. So that's great to see. And they're playing some really good, fun baseball, the Phillies are. So going to get into all of it. Rotation, lineup, bullpen, as always. Want to get into a new prospect list dropped today. So want to get into a little bit of that. Talk some farm here. And, you know, Andrew Painter also made another appearance in Lehigh Valley today. So going to discuss that as well. And as always, get into a little weekend preview before the Milwaukee Brewers come to town and take on the Phillies for a 3-game set this weekend at Citizens Bank Park. So again, like I said, Phillies playing great baseball, and per usual, it starts with this rotation, because I will say, I'll get into Zach Wheeler and his night in just a second, but Wheeler and Lizardo coming into Thursday night were probably 1 and 2 in the Cy Young race. And like, I know Yamamoto has been really good out there for the Dodgers. Kodai Senga has been good for the Mets, and Skeens is Skeens. And there are definitely some other guys up there for some consideration for the National League Cy Young. But what Wheeler and Lizardo have done so far for the Phillies this year has been absolutely incredible. And both of them pitching to an under 2.5 ERA and really consistent, aside from a couple of blow-up outings, which Zach Wheeler sort of had tonight. And again, I'll break it down in a second. But just really good stuff out of the two of those guys. Before I get into Wheeler, I'll just touch on Lizardo a little more. Like, the way he has battled over the course of, you know, his first 2 months as a Philly, like, not all of his starts have been, you know, I would say Zach Wheeler-esque, where you can just tell he has his stuff early and it feels like he's, you know, unhittable in any given game. Like, Lizardo will have his innings where he'll get some traffic on the bases and he'll have to work around some stuff, but the way he's able to sort of, you know, hone in on his command and is able to make pitches and, you know, put ball, get guys to put balls in play and get into some double plays and stuff of that nature, it's really encouraging to see. So, again, what a offseason acquisition by Dave Dombrowski to be able to get another starter like Jesus Lizardo in here. And if he can stay healthy for a full 162 and perform the way he has through the first couple of months of the season, like, man, they got a real steal from the Miami Marlins down there. So that is great to see. Good stuff from Lizardo. And, you know, it was an interesting one for Wheeler tonight, because through the first three, I guess, four innings or so, I'm watching Zach Wheeler and I'm thinking to myself, man, like, he's got his A stuff tonight. And what I was just talking about is, like, when you see that Wheeler has his good stuff early, you're thinking, this guy might go 7-8 innings tonight and, you know, just be unhittable. And it sort of, you know, took a turn in the fourth inning where it just started to unravel and some hard hit balls. And I think ultimately it was just him getting behind in some counts. And look, it's a 162 game season. You're going to have some nights like that. But I was a little shocked how he just couldn't recover once he, you know, gave up the, you know, two out or the hit to make it 2-0 and then gives up the Albies homer to make it 4-0. And then just couldn't really recover from there. Those last two runs, ends up giving up 6 earned, where, you know, partially due to Carlos Hernandez allowing those inherited runners in. But it was a little jarring to see that from Wheeler for sure. And his velocity looked really good to start the night. Like, he was hitting 99 a couple times, which you don't really see from Zach Wheeler during the regular season. He typically will wait until the postseason to sort of ramp it up like that. But he looked really good early on, and I was a little surprised that we sort of saw him fall off in the fourth inning the way he did and just sort of lose his command, get behind in some counts, and you know, hitters took advantage of that. So got to give the Braves some credit there. But it was a good outing today from Christopher Sanchez in the first game, which I thought was a good sign because Chris Sanchez, while he's putting up some good numbers, it doesn't feel like he has had the typical Chris Sanchez command that we saw last year, just with all his pitches, whether it's fastball, the changeup, or the breaking ball. Like, I feel like he's yet to put it all together at once, which is impressive considering he's pitching to like a 3 ERA right now. So that's encouraging considering I think he can even get better than what we've seen, but it doesn't feel like we've seen the typical Chris Sanchez command that we saw last year that made him so dominant at some points during the year. But still, goes 5 2/3 today, 2 earned runs, 5 strikeouts. Like, it was okay. It was a solid outing for Christopher Sanchez. He put them in position to win a ball game, and that's what they did. And what was, you know, a real nail-biter there at the end as the bullpen tried to do its best to, you know, give up that lead. But the Phils do, again, split the doubleheader in the end and are able to win the series, which is good to see there. And want to talk about Nola for a second. He's still working his way back from the IL. It looks like he's been doing some activity out in the bullpen. He's been running a little bit, and they said his sprained ankle is taking a little longer than they thought it was going to take to recover. And again, with the way Nola was pitching before, just get him right. Just take as much time as you need. Allow Aaron Nola to get right. And if we can see anything resembling what we saw towards the end of last year, where he actually became pretty dominant for the Phils, it would be great to see, because we obviously still have a lot of time on that contract. You want to start to see some results from Aaron Nola, and I think we will. He obviously was just, I don't know if it was the ankle the entire season or what was going on, but something just didn't seem right with Aaron Nola, and allowing him to get a reset like this on the injured list and sort of bounce back from whatever was going on, I think that could be beneficial for both Aaron Nola and the Phillies. So we'll probably expect another week or two for Aaron Nola on the IL. Probably will make a rehab start from what they're saying eventually for the Phils, but we will see, or for the Iron Pigs, I should say. So we will continue to monitor that situation. And last thing I wanted to get to on the pitching staff before we move on, want to get to some bullpen stuff for sure, because that's certainly something people are talking about right now. Another solid start in AAA for Andrew Painter today. 5 innings pitched, 5 hits, 2 earned runs, 5 strikeouts. Now he's only given up 5 earned runs through his first 4 starts. I feel like July was the month people were talking about heading into the season for when we were going to end up seeing Andrew Painter. I'm thinking it might be earlier. Like, it feels like June at some point, like maybe late June, is the time that we see him come up here. Because, again, if you continue to utilize him down AAA, like, that's fine. I want him to get as many innings under him as possible for him to feel comfortable. But I don't want to waste his innings down in AAA at the same time. So we'll be interested to see as we hit June and as it gets towards mid-June where we're at with the Painter situation. And all I got to say is I hope that he's debuting in Citizens Bank Park. And I don't care what's going on. Unless I'm producing the game for WIP, I'm going to be at that Andrew Painter debut game because it is going to be really exciting. And I'm very excited to, you know, watch him come up and finally be a part of this baseball team after, you know, we see the one start in spring training a few years ago. He ends up getting the Tommy John, and it just feels like we've been on Andrew Painter watch for a while now, and they're being extra careful with him, you know, understandably considering the amount that he's been touted by the organization and by Major League Baseball since, you know, getting off the Tommy John surgery and starting to make his rehab appearances. So looking forward to the Andrew Painter appearance up here with the big club, but another solid outing down in AAA with the Iron Pigs today. So want to get to the bullpen stuff real quick before I get to the lineup. Note, obviously, when Jose Alvarado goes down, guys are going to have to step up into some new roles, and I don't think that anyone thought that the bullpen was not going to miss Jose Alvarado. Obviously, he was your most reliable left-handed pitcher, and losing him is going to put guys in roles that you probably weren't comfortable with before. And Matt Strom, I don't know if it's because Jose Alvarado went down, he's been thrusted into that number one left-handed option role, but he just doesn't look like the Matt Strom that we've been accustomed to over the last couple of years. Velocity's down. Command doesn't really seem to be there. Blew another one today. And he just doesn't feel like he has that conviction that we've seen from Matt Strom over the past few years. And again, I don't know if it's an injury. I don't know if something's going on physically with Matt Strom or mechanically maybe. But he doesn't look like the guy that was an all-star last year and that even we saw at the beginning of this year who was dominant and got a lot of outs for this baseball team. So want to monitor the Strom situation a little bit here because, again, I don't think this team can afford for him to go on the injured list right now, but it does feel like something is off with Strom because the velocity and the command both aren't there. And he's a guy who typically will use deception, I guess, as his main, you know, weapon. He's not really a guy that's going to throw mid to upper 90s or has devastating breaking stuff or anything like that. But it seems like nothing is really there working for him right now. And, you know, he got knocked around out in Sacramento a little bit, got knocked around against the Braves today. So definitely a situation to keep an eye on with Matt Strom. But one guy who has definitely stepped up since the Jose Alvarado suspension, that's been Orion Kerkering. And I was kind of flipped on Strom and Orion Kerkering to start the year, where Kerkering was really struggling, couldn't really get his command going, wasn't trusting the fastball as, you know, he typically does when he struggles. But he has been really, really solid as of late and has had a bunch of scoreless outings in a row. I don't think he's allowed a run since Jose Alvarado went or not went down with an injury, since he was suspended for PEDs. So that's great to see from Kerkering. It seems like he's really, you know, utilizing the fastball a little bit more. And obviously when the sweeper's going, that is always something that's going to be a deadly tool for him to use. So good stuff from Kerkering. You really needed that consistency out of him after Jose Alvarado is gone with PEDs. So that is good to see. But one guy who has been a little inconsistent, I think, since that suspension for Alvarado has been Jordan Romano. And I've kind of blamed it a little bit on the mound out in Sacramento because Zach Wheeler complained about it. And a bunch of other pitchers were saying that, you know, it was really tough. It was like cement when you step through and push off your legs. So I kind of was like, okay, I'll give Romano a pass for that one. And the Phil still won that Friday night game anyway. But he is another shaky outing against the Braves today. He does end up getting the save, which is ultimately the most important thing, but gives up a couple walks, a couple hard hit balls. And he's somebody who he's just, again, he has a lot of Kimbrel in him from a sense of he's never going to make it easy. And you know right away whether he has it or whether he doesn't. And like the other night against the Braves, I believe in game one, against the Braves in game one, he, you know, sends him down 1-2-3, was really sharp with his pitches. Breaking ball was just really, really sharp. And today it just felt like he didn't have it. So you're going to get those days with Romano, I think, unfortunately, sometimes. And it's just a matter of, you know, can you get enough run support? If it's a 2 or 3 run lead, it's obviously going to be better than a 1 run lead. So, again, I expect this team to fully go in to the deadline thinking multiple bullpen arms here with Alvarado being gone for 80 games in the postseason. So I would expect them to be very aggressive at the deadline. And one guy I was a little disappointed to see get traded today, actually, was Alexis Diaz, who has not been good this year. We'll say that right now. And, you know, was sent down by the Reds a little bit ago. But the Dodgers, of course, they go ahead and trade for him. He's got electric stuff. He's got a good fastball. I thought maybe that could be a good buy low option for the Phillies. Maybe you have him in AAA for a little bit, let him get his feet under him, let him get comfortable, and, back up to speed and then bring him back up to the majors and see what he's got. But of course, that is such a Dodgers and Andrew Friedman move, and they make that. So we will see how that works out for them. But I expect the Phillies to make multiple bullpen arm moves as the trade deadline gets near. I know Felix Bautista is a big name for the Orioles that's been available or been, rumored to be available potentially. Mason Miller is always a guy that's going to come up in conversations here in town for the A's, who Max Kepler hit a nice bomb off of in that awesome Saturday night game against the A's. And I don't know if everybody stayed up for that one, but it was awesome between the Kepler homer, Marsh throwing the guy out at home, and Kyle Schwarber kind of finishing it off in the 11th inning with the game-winning hit. That was an awesome way to spend your Saturday before Memorial Day. So I thoroughly enjoyed that one, that's for sure. But getting back to the bullpen stuff, one more guy I have to mention, just because it was making me annoyed tonight. I think I'm done with the Carlos Hernandez experiment. The guy's got great stuff, and it almost reminds me of Hernandez on the Braves, the reliever that came in today who ended up hitting Rafael Marchand, and last night who was all over the place, or 2 nights ago who was all over the place as well. These are guys who have stuff and who have velocity, and if they ever put it all together, like, man, really, really talented guys, and they're metrics certainly play up to speed for sure, but they just can't find the strike zone. And it's really frustrating because Hernandez gets behind in counts typically, and then he'll end up having to, you know, throw get me over pitches and then ends up getting hit hard. So I feel like that was a good experiment, and it's somebody who you would think Caleb Cotham would be able to work with a little and be able to find their stuff. But unfortunately, I just don't think it's going to work out for Carlos Hernandez here. ERA is still over six, just doesn't have any consistency really. And he's a guy who, with Alvarado out, you would look to, you know, step up and potentially be a high leverage arm for you. But they've given him a bunch of chances to potentially work his way up to be that, and he's just never proven it. So I don't think that you can move forward with this guy thinking that, you know, he could potentially be what you hoped for when you signed him and be a little bit of a reformation project for Caleb Cotham. So that's not great. But again, deadline. They just got to get to the trade deadline with the arms that they have now, and hopefully you can sort of weather the storm and then be able to make moves from there. And who knows? Ranger has been really good in the rotation. I know I mentioned him as a potential bullpen arm in the past, but he's pitching too well in the starting rotation right now for you to even think about that. So once the playoffs get closer, that's when you sort of make those decisions. Once Painter's up, once Nola's back, and if Ranger then needs to go to the bullpen because really you only need four starters for the postseason, that's a decision that you can make at that time. So we will see how that ends up going. So just a couple lineup notes before I get to the Keith Law prospect list that I really want to get to here. Schwarber and Trey, been really good lately. Schwarber's up to 19 homers, one short of Ohtani for the league lead. I can't see him in another uniform ever again. Like, please, 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 Dave Dombrowski. I need to see Kyle Schwarber finish out his career in a Phillies uniform. I need him chasing 500 home runs in a Phillies uniform. And Bryce had a really interesting quote in a podcast with The Inquirer, I believe, where he was just talking about the impact that Kyle Schwarber makes, as I always say, just not on the baseball field, but what he does in the clubhouse and what he does for that team as a whole. It's really special. And he said he doesn't think there is any way he sees him in another uniform. So I'm paraphrasing there, but he said something of that nature. So really, really need Kyle Schwarber to be back in a Phillies uniform next year. So Trey also been really good. Still hitting over 300. I would think he would be in the running to be one of the shortstops in the All-Star game. Just been really consistent this year. And it reminds you of the guy who we saw before the hamstring injury last season. And he's getting a little more pop in there. Hit a couple big home runs hit the one big home run in Sacramento, but hit a couple out there also. So that's good to see. I love him getting on the base path and being able to, you know, sort of wreak havoc on there, steal bases. The defense hasn't been horrible. It's been fine. And as long as it's fine, you know, we'll take that at this point with Trey Turner, because he is not going to be, you know, a Gold Glove caliber defender. I will say that. But Bryce, I expect Bryce to be totally fine. I probably should have, you know, brought this up earlier, but a lot of talk this week about getting revenge for Bryce Harper after he gets plunked by Strider the other night. I didn't think it was intentional by Strider to hit him. Obviously, he said it wasn't intentional, but I do think it was intentional to go inside on him. I wouldn't have minded a little retaliation, maybe to, you know, just coming in on Acuna or coming in on Ozuna or one of those guys there. Not necessarily hit him, but just, you know, throw a couple pitches inside, let him know that, you know, that's our star player and you don't, you know, pitch in on our guy. But anyway, they won the game, and that's ultimately what the most important thing is. But I expect Bryce to be fine. It seemed like more of a tricep thing than an elbow thing. And Rob Thompson didn't seem too concerned from his comments. And I would expect he's probably in the lineup tomorrow. They said he probably wasn't available in an emergency today, but I would think that he's probably okay, and they just wanted to give him a couple of days of rest there. So not too worried about Bryce yet. Max Kepler still really struggling at the plate. I know he had that homer in Sacramento, which was a big one, and it makes me wonder, at the trade deadline, are they going to look for a potential right-handed bat out in the outfield to maybe platoon with Kepler? Again, Otto Kemp still doing pretty well in AAA, so maybe he is a guy who could platoon with Kepler at some point. And I just think eventually you're going to need that right-handed bat to be able to throw in there against lefties, because I don't know if Kepler is going to be able to get the job done in high-leverage spots as we get towards the postseason against left-handed pitchers. So that would definitely be something I would also look at towards the deadline as well there. So want to get to this Keith Law prospect list, because I was a little shocked when I started reading this today, because I saw a couple guys who were maybe ranked a little higher than I expected. And one was Aiden Miller, who was at 9 in the top 50 prospects in baseball. And I love Aiden Miller as much as the next guy, and I think he's going to be a really good hitter. He obviously has the tools and has, you know, the physical traits to be a very talented big league hitter, and I think that's what they're projecting. But hasn't had the greatest start to his season down in Double A this year. Number 9 on the top 50 prospect list in all of baseball. And I think in MLB's pipeline list, he's like 20-something. But I wasn't expecting him to be 9 after the start he's gotten to this season. But again, might just be a slow starter. Got off to a little bit of a slow start last year. So hopefully, as the season sort of heats up here, we'll see if Aiden Miller can keep his production, you know, going towards what was the end of last year where he got really hot down there in the minors. And the other one was Arun Escobar, who is a prospect down in single A who showed some flashes in spring training that you really like. And he's at 40 over Eduardo Tait, which I thought was a little interesting. And I like Tait a lot. And he was not in this list. I would suspect he was right outside of the list. But Arun Escobar at 40 was pretty cool to see because I think he could be a potential big-time hitter up here in Major League Baseball eventually as well. So another guy, another prospect down in their farm system that has the potential to be something pretty special. So that is good stuff to see. Painter at 5, that sounded about right. Justin Crawford at 42, that also sounded about right. So those were the four guys in Keith Law's top 50 prospect list, which, again, I thought was just pretty interesting because some guys are ranked a little different than where the MLB pipeline guys have some of them. So that was interesting to read about today. Want to get to the weekend preview before we get out of here as the Phils take on the Brewers, who have won 4 straight. Haven't been the most consistent Brewers season so far this year, and a lot of that has been due to their starting pitching not being as good as it typically is, and usually they just bring in guys who sometimes you've never even heard of but are just really talented and end up pitching really well for the Brewers. But now that they've lost David Stearns to the Mets, you know, that might be something that's of the past. So, Brewers in town who have won 4 straight. Friday night at 6:45, you've got Taijuan Walker against Quinn Priester, who Priester, you know, formerly with the Pirates. He's allowed only 1 run in 3 of his last 4 starts, so that could be interesting to see. And obviously not one of the more talented pitchers in baseball, but has been pretty solid as of late. Saturday, you've got a 4:05 start with Jesus Luzardo against Chad Patrick, who's also been pretty solid as of late, but has an ERA over 4 on the road this year. So we'll see how he does at Citizens Bank Park. And then on Sunday at 1:35, you've got Ranger up against a starter to be announced for the Brewers there. So we'll see if the Phils can win yet another series. Like I said, they've won 9 of their last 10 series, which is pretty damn impressive. And they're having a very similar May to where they were last year as well. So we'll see if they can, again, it felt like June 12th, 13th around was the London series last year. We'll see if they can, you know, take this stretch and sort of prolong it as the summer goes on. Obviously, you're not going to be as hot as they've been throughout an entire summer, but at least if they can just find a level of consistency and are able to, you know, stay above 500 over the course of the next few months, that would be a positive thing to see. So that's going to put a wrap on this edition of Phillies Today. Thank you, as always, for tuning in, and hopefully it is another fun week of fun weekend of baseball down at Citizens Bank Park this weekend. So for Phillies 24/7, this has been Justin Morgenstein, and I'll talk to you next week. See ya.